Hey everybody, me again, talking about creepy books, horror books. This is my Tomes of Terror show. So let's get into it. So this book was another recommendation that kept coming up on my Goodreads, kept coming up on like various channels I was watching. And this is also a New York Times notable book. I believe the hardback came out in 2012 and then the paperback came out in 2013, but I am just now getting around to reading it and I'm just now getting around to hearing about this guy. I will definitely be reading more of his stuff, I'm saying right now. This is called The Devil in Silver by Victor Laval. Now, from what I can determine, Victor Laval is a writing professor at Columbia, and he has also written several novels. I believe his wife is also a novelist and is also a teacher at Columbia. They both teach writing, as far as I know. Also, I think they have a son named Geronimo, which I just thought that was very funny, so I thought I would mention it. So this book, as I said, is the first one of his that I read. Now, it is marketed as a horror thriller, which I guess it sort of is, but this is kind of another one that is sort of genreless, I want to say. Now, if you just want like a very rough approximation of like what the tone of this book is like, or kind of what this book is like, here's kind of the elevator pitch. Okay, imagine One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest meets Bubba Hotep, okay? And then you kind of get the gist of like where this is coming from. Also got a little bit of a maybe a Christopher Moore kind of vibe, although not as zany. A little bit of a Chuck Palahniuk, or however you pronounce his last name, a little bit of that kind of vibe too. It's almost like, it's like a dark comedy, sort of, like a satire, like a social commentary, but it's also like really funny, and then it also has like a lot of horror elements, like a monster type of story, and toward the end particularly, it gets like pretty gory. So, but it's a really, really interesting, like a really interesting character piece. It's just like a really, really good book, and I just like enjoyed the hell out of this book. It took me a while because I started reading it and then like I had a whole bunch of other projects. Usually I don't like to like leave that big a gap, but I definitely like picked it back up and then just like read the whole like second half of the book, maybe even more than half. Like I read the whole second half of the book like in a day or something like that, just because I was like so into it and like so invested and wanted to see where it was going and what was going to happen. So basically the setup is this. There is a guy named, it's not his real name, but he's called Pepper. Do they even say what his real name is? I think his real name's Peter, but they only mention it a couple of times. So Pepper is kind of this this kind of working class white dude. He's like, he works for a moving company and he has like some anger issues. He's basically a good dude, but he's just like real hot-headed and he has like a tendency to kind of like go off and beat the crap out of people like when maybe he shouldn't. So at the beginning of the book, I guess this woman that he had sort of been dating or wanted to date or something like that was having problems with her ex-boyfriend. So Pepper gets it into his head that he's going to help her out by like beating the crap out of the ex-boyfriend at like a bar, I think it was. And then like some other dudes come and then he beats them up too. But these other dudes, it turns out, unfortunately for him, are undercover cops. So what ends up happening to poor Pepper is that he gets taken to the police station, but it's like, it's the middle of the night at some hour or something. And this is set in New York, like right in and around Queens, New York. So I guess there's some, I don't know if this is a real law or not. It wouldn't shock me if it was, but I guess the cops kind of have this workaround where, look, we arrested him like right before we were going off shift. It's like, we don't want to do the paperwork. We don't want to deal with it. So let's take him to this place called New Hyde, which is like a mental hospital, and then we can just like put him there. They put him there for observation for 72 hours. He'll be out of our hair. We don't have to worry about it. So that's basically what they do. So Pepper gets taken to this mental hospital, and the scary thing that happens is that, and he's not crazy. I mean, the whole thing is pretty much, it's in like the third person. And every now and then it kind of like dips into other people's like thoughts and perceptions as well. But for pretty much the whole book, you're with Pepper and you're seeing things through his perspective. Although it does, you know, occasionally go into other people's perspective as well. But the cool thing about Pepper is just, see, he's a very, even though he does like some monumentally stupid things and things you're just sitting there going, oh man, it's like you're going to get in so much trouble. But he's such a likable, like, big galoot type of guy that you just can't help but sort of be like, you know, he just seems like that type of dude. He's just like this likable schlub kind of. And he's kind of like a big dude, but, you know, like a big dumb guy kind of. So he gets taken there. He goes to the intake with the doctor and everything, and then like the doctor is like, "Well, you know, the law says that you have to be here for 72 hours of observation, and if we determine that you need some kind of help that we can provide you, then you will be in essentially incarcerated here until, you know, we deem you fit to like release you." Now, he kind of like starts arguing and fighting and stuff like that because that's kind of his nature. He's very, you know, rebellious. He doesn't like to be told what to do. But it ends up that because he's being such a problem, they essentially drug him. And by the time he wakes up, the 72-hour time period has passed. And now he's essentially a patient at this mental hospital. And he doesn't really have a lot of way of getting out. Like, he doesn't really have much family on the outside, or he's kind of estranged from them. He doesn't have any money. It's like they, you know, they kind of took all his stuff. So he's kind of hosed, you know, basically. So as it goes on, he starts to meet some of the other people in the mental hospital, and I think that's kind of like one of the strengths of this book is like all the characters are because the pretty much the entire thing, as far as I realize, the entire thing is set in this mental hospital. So, and it's kind of a long book. It's like 400 something pages. So you almost feel like you're trapped there with him or like incarcerated in there, like with these people, which I think is like really, really effective because you don't get to see anything else. You don't get to see anything outside of what is going on. It's just very, very insular and they're all kind of like trapped here. But one of the big strengths of this novel is the characters, like the way that they're drawn and the way he interacts with them, the way he slowly, I mean, because at first he feels like I'm an outsider, I don't belong here, like what are all these crazy people, you know, that kind of thing. Like probably like most people would react. But the thing is, it's like as he gets to know them, he's like, well, maybe, you know, they're not. I mean, some of them do have like problems and stuff, and some of them probably should be in a mental hospital, but they are still like really very humanized. They're all very sympathetic. So it's not kind of a case where, you know, some of the characters are kind of like, oh, that's the crazy one or anything like that. So while all this is going on, like he kind of befriends like this old woman that lives there and she's been there for like years and years and years. Her name is Dory. And she's kind of like the friendly one that comes and greets everybody and gives them a tour. Now, while she's giving them a tour, she says that at the end of this one hallway is this silver door and no one is allowed to go close to it. Like none of the patients are allowed to go even down that hall, or like all the guards and nurses and stuff like that will flip out and will like come and get you. And as it goes on, and like now, like I said, I think that the you know, the description of this book says what it is that's going on in there. But if you don't want to know anything about this book, then probably don't like watch this review because as I said before, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil the end. I'm not going to spoil any big plot points or anything like that. But I am going to like talk about what happens, like the plot of the book a little bit. And if you don't want to know anything about that, then just turn off and go read the book and then come back. So it turns out that behind this silver door is the devil. I mean, not the literal devil, but it's a dude, or it looks like an old man, except he has a huge bison head. Like not like a mask, but like an actual bison head. And so this guy is kind of like he crawls around in the ceilings and like he comes out into people's rooms at night, like through the, you know, acoustical tiles or whatever. And he comes down in there and like supposedly kills some of the patients. So everyone is terrified of him. And you know, Pepper starts calling him the devil like when he sees him, and his other friend there, who's like a 19-year-old African American girl, whose name is Lucci, that's short for Lucretia, and she calls him the devil as well. Like, you know, so they think that there's l the literal devil living in there. And the weird thing about it is that it's kind of like left. I don't think it's left ambiguous because everybody sees the devil, even the people that work there. But they have like a weird perception where they obviously see this patient, as they call him, but they don't like let on that anything is weird about him, even though he has a giant bison head. So you're kind of like, are the patients just seeing him like that? Or Are the is the you know the people that work at the hospital, are they just like pretending that he doesn't look like that, or does he really look like that? So that's kind of a whole thing too. That's where I was getting the Bubba Ho-Tep vibe, because this is very much, you know, a bunch of people that are kind of like confined in this hospital and are basically having to like pull together to fight a monster who they perceive as like killing other patients. And so, like I said, as the story goes on and Pepper starts to kind of get over his initial thing, it's like, oh, all these crazy people, and he actually starts like forming friendships with some of the other people there, and they decide that that some of them are just gonna like pull together and they're gonna like try and fight this monster, or try to figure out what's going on and why, you know, why the staff like seem to protect this monster, even though he seems to be like creeping into people's rooms and essentially killing them or making them disappear, because some people disappear and they don't know where they went. I mean, that's kind of all I want to say about it, because this goes off in like some really interesting directions. And I will say, like, I know a lot of the reviews that I've done, I've called them like literary horror, which I guess this is as well. This could very easily be a really entertaining literary novel about, or like a satirical black comedy type of novel about a mental hospital in the vein of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, even without like the monster element. But I think the monster element like adds something really interesting to it, because it kind of just has that, you know, that added horror element, which I think brings a lot to, you know, what he's trying to say with this book. Because I mean, obviously, and the book, it's cool because he's obviously making a statement about how shitty we treat people with mental problems. He's also making kind of a lot of statements about it almost kind of like Kafka-esque, or almost kind of like a Terry Gilliam movie, where he's talking about, you know, these institutions that are like these big massive institutions that only work for, you know, that seem to us like, it seems like this, you know, impenetrable bureaucracy, but it works for people at the top, so they just keep it working, but it doesn't work for anybody else. So he's obviously making a lot of statements about that, because, you know, he talks about this mental hospital and how they just kind of throw people to forget about them, and then, you know, the way that it operates is just so stupid and like so backwards. Like the computer they have is like from, even though I'm pretty sure this is set in the modern day because everyone has cell phones and everything, but the computer that they have is like some old thing from like the 80s or some shit like that. And it has like this program on it that, you know, isn't even for like what they're supposed to be using it for, and none of the staff can figure out how to use it, and they're all just like really frustrated, and they just have these big things, you know, just big piles of like you know, files and stuff that they're supposed to be inputting, but they can't figure out how to do it because it doesn't work right. So there's kind of a lot of that going on. So it's almost like an absurdist kind of condemnation of like this bureaucratic you know, red tape of like all these people get put in this hospital and like they never get out, and it's like no one cares if they disappear and all this other kind of stuff. So there's a lot of that in there, but it's not heavy-handed. This is a really, really entertaining novel. I mean, it's really entertaining. Just the way it's written, it's so funny. It's like all the characters are just so lovable. You know what I mean? This is a very humanistic novel in the sense that, you know, you really feel, you know, empathy toward all these people who, like I said, some of them have some kind of severe like mental problems and everything, but he doesn't ever paint any of them as other. He's just, you know, even the ones that are like more unlikable. Like there's an old guy in there named Mr. Mack, who's kind of like an unlikable dude, and like everyone else in the hospital is kind of like, oh, this asshole, you know what I mean? But even he is still kind of likable in his way. So I really admire that he took so much time in like, you know, painting these really flawed but really like complicated characters that you can really like root for. And it's just really, really well done. And I think that is really goes a long way toward what makes this novel like such a rich experience to read. And then just adding like the fun stuff of, you know, the monster on top of like, and trying to figure out like what this monster is, and like if it's really there or what it really looks like. You know, this is kind of ragtag group of mental patients that get together to like try and fight this monster that they think is the devil. I mean, I had a really good time writing this, and I'll definitely be seeking out some more of his stuff in the future. Now, I think, as I said, this came out in 2012 initially. I will say I really like, because I saw the person that reviewed it, I saw the hardback cover and I was like, okay, like after I read the book, I was like, I don't understand like why that hardcover looks the way it does. This cover is much more, 'cause see, it has a bison head on it. So, you know, that's much more indicative of what the story is about. I also read too that he had written a novella, which might be ebook only. I'm not sure if it's print or not, which is almost kind of like, I can't remember the name of it, but it's almost like a prequel, from what I understand, of Lucci, one of the main characters in this, who's actually probably the second or third most important character to Pepper. And she, because, you know, she kind of like befriends him later on. She's not in it a lot at the beginning, but she gets like more important as the time goes on. So I think that he wrote a novella, like a companion piece to this book, that was almost kind of like, I think it's like her backstory or something that happened to her when she was a teenager, like, or a younger teenager, because she's still a teenager in this. So I'll definitely be reading that because I really, really liked her character a lot. And I think that'll like add a lot to the narrative of this. But yeah, definitely, if you like anything literary, if you like, I mean, if me saying One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest meets Bubba Ho-Tep, if that like intrigued you, then you will probably really dig this. It's written in a really, I don't want to say breezy because that sounds like dismissive, but it's written in like a really readable way. It's like really funny. There's like lots of like author asides, but not in a, you know, not in a snarky, hee-hee, you know, wink-wink kind of way. It's almost just kind of like part of the narrative, and it's just like the way it's written. And I just really, really liked the way it was written. It was like a really easy read. And the characterization is really good. It's like everybody in this is like so, you know, just drawn really, in like a really complex way. And like all the characters are really, really likable, and you can really like get behind their goal and like what's going on, even when they do something shitty, like you can understand why they did it. So it's just a really, really great book. And so definitely, even though it's not, I wouldn't call it like horror, you know what I mean? But it does definitely have horror elements. It's kind of almost more like a horror, like a black comedy type of thing. More, like I said, it's kind of more like Terry Gilliam-y movie or something like that. So if that sounds like something that you would like, then you will probably really, really like this because I had a blast reading it. So, definitely, definitely recommended. And that'll do it for this book review, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.